Welcome to Sunday Morning at Faith Assembly, featuring the ministry of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. We're glad you've joined us. Now, here's Pastor Goss.
Well, find your notes if you would, and we're going to begin a new series today that we're going to start today, be doing all through June, called Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace. Grace is amazing. We're going to take communion this morning. Communion's always a great time. It's fitting on Memorial Day that we take this memorial service, and we remember everything that God has done for us. Communion's not just for members. If you're new here, you don't have to be a member of the church. It's for anyone who's accepted Christ as their Savior. And so we just enjoy the time where we remember the greatness of God. But when it comes to grace, you have to understand that unless you really get a grip on grace, you just don't understand the Christian life. You don't understand God unless you understand grace. Grace is at the heart of our faith. The more you understand grace, the more you're drawn to God. And that's how you know you're going to heaven. That's how you know that when you die or when the Lord returns, that you're going to be at another place, not because of anything you've done, but because of everything that God has done. And we have to understand that we are saved by God's grace. By God's grace. The psalmist wrote these great words in Psalm 145, verse 13. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. You rule generation after generation. The Lord is faithful in all he says. He is gracious in all he does. God is gracious. Well, we're going to look at this word grace today. I'm going to do a little acrostic. We're going to take the letters of it. We're going to make applications on it. And so we're going to begin with the letter G. And that means God's gift to me. Saving grace is God's gift to me. Now, everything about the American way of life teaches us that you get what you earn. There's no free lunch. If you want to make something in life, it's up to you. That's called the American work ethic. There's also a sense of entitlement in our society, the belief that I'm entitled to what I want in life. The problem is, God doesn't operate that way. God is gracious. You can't earn God's grace. There is nothing you can do in your life to make God be more gracious to you. You can't. You're not entitled to God's grace. You say, well, I don't deserve God's grace. You are absolutely right. You don't. But God gives it anyway. God gives us grace, and it is his gift to me. You don't earn it, and you're not entitled to it. Look at Romans chapter 5, verse 15. What a difference between our sin and God's generous gift. Just please notice wherever we read that word gift, of forgiveness. For this one man, Adam, brought death to many through his sin, but this other man, Jesus Christ, brought forgiveness to many through God's bountiful gift. And the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of that one man's sin. For Adam's sin led to condemnation, but we have the free gift of being accepted by God, even though we are guilty of many sins. Now that's true, isn't it? Turn to the person next to you. You want to say this anyway. You are guilty of many sins. Just tell them. Just so we all know it. We're guilty of many sins. Verse 17. This sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over us. But all who receive God's wonderful, gracious gift of righteousness will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. You see, if you were to go out in the street today and take a poll of all the people walking by, go out to the mall, go someplace where people are, and just kind of say, ask them, how do you get to heaven? You're going to hear all kinds of responses. You'd probably get answers similar to, well, you just got to be good and do your best. You need to be a moral person. You don't do bad things. You do more good things than bad things. You care for the poor. Well, you need to save the environment. You know, you don't hurt people. The problem with all of those answers, they're all about works. It's all about what I have to do to get God's grace. And the scripture we just read tells us that grace is a gift. You don't earn it. You don't deserve it. You can't earn a gift. In fact, do you understand that the major difference between Christianity and all the other religions is about this gift? You see, all the other religions, Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, New Age, all the other religions, you've got to earn it. You do enough good works, you do enough good things, you blow up enough people. You whatever you need to do, you can do these things, and the more you do them, then the better life will be for you in the next life. But you see, with the Christians, in Christianity, it's not about what we do, it's about God's gift to us. That is why there isn't anything you can do to save yourself. You have to accept God's gift. Now, we don't handle this well, do we? Why? We don't want to be indebted to anybody, do we? Come on. You know, it's free. It's a gift. God's grace is God's gift to you. Well, Pastor, if I accept this gift, then I'm indebted to God. Well, that's why you give Him your life, because you're so grateful for what He's given to you. And God's grace is the greatest gift you'll ever be offered in your life. And if you're going to understand God, and if you're going to understand Christianity, and if you're going to understand salvation, you have to understand it's all because of God's grace, and God's grace is a gift. It's a gift. He just wants to give it to you. The R in grace, it's received by faith. Well, how do I get this gift? You get this gift just like you get any other gift in life. You have to receive it. You have to be willing to take it. When somebody gives you a birthday gift, here's the gift. Are you willing to take it and unwrap it and use it? Christmas time, here's the gift. You don't earn it. It's not because of what you've done. Somebody gave it to you. You have to receive it. You see, you can have gifts in your life that are given to you. They're wrapped up in a nice pretty paper, a nice pretty bow, and they're here, they're yours. And if you leave them unwrapped, they're still there for you. But you have to be willing to take it. Ephesians 2:8. God saved you by His grace. Now notice, when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift of God. See, God saved you when you believed. God saved you when you had faith. And if someone offers you a gift, it's not yours until you take it or you receive it. And you have to have faith to believe that God offers this to you. Now, see, we're just a people, we're suspicious. Come on. He's going to give me this. What's the catch? Where's the strings? What's it going to cost me? Nothing in life is free. That's our mentality so many times, isn't it? And you can't take credit for the gift. You don't deserve it. All you have to do is take it. Romans 4:16. So that's why faith is the key. God's promise is given to us as a free gift, and we are certain to receive it, whether or not we follow Jewish customs, if we have faith like Abraham's. For Abraham is the father of all who believe. See, what do I have to have? Faith like Abraham. I just have to have the faith to receive it. Down a few verses in verse 20. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger, and in this he brought glory to God. He was absolutely convinced that God was able to do anything He promised, and because of Abraham's faith, God declared him to be righteous. Now, this wonderful truth, that God declared him to be righteous, wasn't just for Abraham's benefit. it was for us too, assuring us that God will also declare us to be righteous if we believe or have faith in God who brought Jesus our Lord back from the dead. He was handed over to die because of our sins, and he was raised from the dead to make us right with God. If you believe this, have faith in this, then you get to receive this promise. I mean, all I've got to do to have God's grace is accept it? Yeah. I mean, let's make life complicated. Why don't we spend a lifetime feeling guilty? Why don't we spend a lifetime trying to work for it? Why don't we try to do all sorts of things that we always feel indebted and we got to do more? Why don't we feel like we're not good enough? Why don't we just take things and make things really complicated? I mean, God forbid we make it simple. We're good at complicating life, aren't we? Hello? Yeah, we are. And God says, look, I have this gift for you. And if you'll put your faith in me and take it, you can have it. It's similar to the story of the prodigal son. Most of you know the story. Boy comes to his dad and says, look, I want my inheritance. I've had enough of living at home. I want to leave and be my own boss and do my own thing. I want my part now and my share now. I want you to give it to me. The dad gives him his inheritance. The boy leaves. And like we would expect, he just blows it all. He just spends it on all kinds of junk, buys fast cars, buys the newest electronic stuff, and just spends it on, you know, alcohol and women. He wastes his money. Before long, he has nothing left. He's scrapping everywhere to get a job. He ends up in the pig pen feeding the pigs. And one day he has enough of it. And he starts to think, you know what? I had it better back home, even though I didn't think so. What I'm going to do, I think if I go back to Dad and maybe tell him, you know, look, I don't expect to go back and be your son again. Would you just hire me on as one of your servants? It's going to be a better job than the job I have now. I think I'll go back and ask him. And I think that's called faith. So he gets up and he goes back to Dad. And he says, Dad, look, I've blown it. I've wasted it. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Could you just make me one of your servants? Could you just give me a job in the house? Could you just give me, I don't care what it is. Nothing could be worse than what I was doing. Could you just let me do that? Because he had faith in his father gave him grace. And his father restored him as a son. He didn't deserve it. He hadn't earned it. But the father gave it to him anyway, because he was willing to come and ask. Grace is God's gift to us. It is free. You can't earn it. It is received by faith. We receive it. Why is it faith? I don't see it, but I believe it. And I receive his forgiveness. I receive his salvation because he gives it to me. The A, it is available to everyone. Now, I know God doesn't play favorites, but sometimes I think I'm God's favorite. And you should think the same thing sometimes. Because you know what the great thing is about this grace? God doesn't play favorites. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done. I don't care how many times you've done it. I don't care how bad you think you are or how bad other people say you are. Every person that is alive on this planet has the offer of God's grace. Now that's incredible. And God says, my grace is for everyone. Romans chapter 4, verse 16. That's why faith is the key. God's promise is given to us as a free gift, so we're certain to believe it. Whether or not we follow Jewish customs, if we have faith like Abraham. For Abraham is the father of all who believe. Now I know I've read that verse before. and I know it's there, but God's promise is given to us. We're certain to receive it. It doesn't matter whether or not we follow the Jewish customs. It doesn't matter whether we do this or this. We have it available to us. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. For, what's the word? Anyone. Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Wow. Anyone. You do understand, don't you, that anyone is you. You fit in that category. Anyone's your neighbor. Anyone, well, pastor, what about this person and that person? What about the people who do this? What about people? Anyone. Well, I don't think, see, that's where you and God are different. God's grace is available to all. You and I aren't so gracious to certain people, are we? Okay, I won't ask you to raise a hand. It doesn't matter whether you're a religious person or not. It doesn't matter whether or not you think you're good or not. You see, the thing that always amazes me, and you'll hear this often, I hear it from people, seems like all the time. Well, you know what? I know I need to get things turned around, and I know I need to change my life, and I know I need to serve God, and as soon as I get this taken care of, why? It's like, well, I got to get presentable to God. You'll never be presentable to God. Well, I got to get cleaned up. That's pride, isn't it? That's ego, isn't it? Well, I got to get rid of this habit. Good luck with that. Well, I got to be more like this. I got to be a better person. I got to stop this. I got to quit this. As soon as I can get this done, then I'll come to God. God doesn't say, get cleaned up and then come and see if I'll give you grace. God says, come as you are. And my grace is available to you. You cannot work to make yourself more acceptable. And people who need to think they work on something or deal with something first, that's called pride. That's called ego. Well, I don't want to take something for nothing. Well, then you're never going to get God's grace because you can't pay for it. You can't earn it. It's not going to happen. God will never be indebted to you. And only God can help you make the changes you need to make. I'm here to tell you today, to every person in this room, God's grace is available to you. I don't care what you did last night. I don't care what you did this morning. God's grace is available to everyone. The C is it's Christ-centered. Christ-centered. Romans 5:15. What a difference between our sin and God's generous gift of forgiveness. For this one man, Adam, brought death to many through his sin. But this other man, Jesus Christ, brought forgiveness to many through God's bountiful gift. Jesus Christ is the only one who has paid the price for your entrance to heaven. Jesus Christ is the only one who has conquered death. That's another thing that sets Christianity apart from all the other religions. All the other religions serve a God, talk to a God who either doesn't exist or doesn't live today. Christians talk to a God who is alive. He conquered the grave. It wasn't cheap. It wasn't easy. It cost him his life. But because he was raised from the dead and conquered death and hell and the grave, he owns salvation. He says it's mine. And then you know what he does? He offers it to us. He says, you can have it. Well, what have I got to do to earn it? How can I pay for it? What do I owe you? And he says, you can't buy it. I've already bought it. It's mine. But I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give it to you. Wow. Now some of you are sitting here right now, Pastor, come on, this can't be that easy. Yes, it is. See, remember at the beginning I told you, if you don't understand grace, you don't understand God. Galatians chapter 2, verse 19. For when I tried to keep the law, when I tried to do everything right, when I tried to be a good person, when I tried to earn things, I realized I could never earn God's approval. So I died to the law so that I might live for God. I've been crucified with Christ. I myself no longer live, but Christ lives in me. So I live my life in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I am not one of those who treats the grace of God as meaningless. For if we could be saved by keeping the law, then there's no need for Christ to die. Notice what it says. Christ in me. Christ lives in me. Because of what Christ does, Christ lives in me. Now, how many of you know what this is? For some of you who have never seen a kitchen, this is called an oven mitt. All right? Now, it has a name, it has a look. But right now, this mitt in and of itself is useless. But when I take my hand and put it inside this mitt, now it becomes functional. This is your body. This is your life. It has a name. It has a look. But it's not very functional. But when you take God's gift and receive it free, Christ moves in you. And now you have meaning and purpose. And now you have the ability to do what God created you to do. Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me. It's not based on what you do. It's based on what Christ has already done. On the cross, Jesus Christ said, "It is finished." He didn't say, "I am finished," because he's not done yet. But the "it" Jesus talks about is our salvation. He purchased our salvation. He finished that task, and he offers it to us as a gift. When we accept his work on the cross and ask him to forgive us of our sins, by faith, he gives us salvation. That's the grace of God through Jesus Christ. We have grace because of what Christ has done. Now that's just incredible, isn't it? Christ did the work. He accomplished the task. And he says, if you will live and allow me to live in you, and if you will accept my grace through faith, I will give you life. Oh, but what have I got to do? You just got to let Christ live in you. Oh, surely there's more to it. Tell me the rules I got to keep. Just love God. Well, surely I can do something. Come on, quit acting like you own it. It's a gift. Let me go on. E, it's extended throughout eternity. It's extended throughout eternity. Romans chapter 6, verse 20. In those days, when you were slaves to sin, you weren't concerned about doing what was right. And what was the result? It was not good, since now you're ashamed of the things you used to do, the things that end in eternal doom. But now you are free from the power of sin because you become slaves of God. Now you do those things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. For the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. You've heard of the gift that keeps on giving? This is it. This is it. A life forever in heaven is the gift of God and the grace of God. And when I accept that gift by faith and put my trust in Christ, I get to heaven. What a great place. Let me give you just real, what's so great about heaven? Let me give you three things about heaven real quick. They're in your notes. First of all, heaven is a place of reunion. It's a place where I get to live with my Christian family. It's a place I get to live with people who are like me. It's a place where I get to live where everybody gets along. Boy, that's going to be some place, isn't it? Everybody getting along, that's got to be heaven. Right? It's a place of reunion. Secondly, heaven's a place of reward. We're rewarded for all the things we did for God while we're here on earth. Not only did we get this gift, but now we get a reward. What kind of great deal is that? Thirdly, heaven's a place of relief. There will be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more sickness, no more suffering, no more grief, no more depression, no more loneliness, no more sin. Eternal life. You see, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Heaven's a great place, and it's available to us because of God's grace. What have I got to do to get to heaven? Accept the grace of God. Well, you know, if I accept God's grace, he's probably going to give me a lecture and I'm going to feel condemned about the life I've been living and I can't live up to the standards and I can't do everything and God will just make me feel bad and he'll make me pay for everything I've done. You don't understand God? You don't understand God's grace? There's a lady in the Bible who had a reputation. And one day, she was caught in the act of adultery. The religious leaders brought her to Jesus, knowing the law, knowing what had to happen. And they confronted him with her there, standing there, saying, "This woman was caught in the act of adultery. The Bible says that we should stone her. That's the law. What do you say we should do?" And Jesus, as he normally did, turned the tables on them and said, "Let the one who's without sin cast the first stone." And one by one, we're told, the rocks dropped and the men walked away until it's just the woman and Jesus. Now you can imagine where this woman's at, head hung low, shame written all over her emotion, all over her face, all over her body language, wondering when's the next shoe going to drop. What's going to happen next? And Jesus turns to her and says, "Woman, where are the people that accuse you?" And she said, "They're all gone. They're not here." And here we have the grace of God, because he says, "Neither do I condemn you." Did she earn that? Now, she had a reputation. She was as guilty as could be. Did she deserve it? Not in most people's minds. That's called grace. Well, Pastor, then, does that mean that, I can go on living any way I want? No, because Jesus then told her, "Now go and leave your life of sin." You know, why continue with a life that's going to destroy you? Why continue living that way when God says, "Look, I've got life for you"? Why keep living in a way that keeps hurting you and keeps hurting others? Jesus, God comes and says, "I want to give you grace. I want to forgive your sins. I want you to have heaven forever. Would you be willing to accept Christ? And would you be willing to live for him? Not because if you don't, I'm going to get you, but because you love him and you want to please him." The grace of God. And here's the great thing. God's grace is available right now. You don't have to wait for it. You don't have to think, "Well, I'll think about it. Well, I'll straighten up some things first." It's not the way it works. Today, God has a gift for you. Every day, God has a gift for you. And all you have to do is receive it by faith. Why faith? Because you're never going to understand it. You're never going to be able to comprehend how great His grace is. But you know it's available to you and to everybody else. And you know it's available because of what Jesus Christ has done. And if you will receive it, you get to live in God's grace forever. Amazing grace. And today as we take communion, we're reminded of the grace of God, aren't we? Look at what God has done for me. I can't earn it. I certainly don't deserve it. But He's given it to me. Thank God for His grace.
Thank you for joining us for today's service. If you would like to talk with someone about what you've heard, please visit our website at faith.ag or call us at 239-543-2700. If you're in the Fort Myers area and don't already have a church home, you're invited to join us for Sunday morning at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Faith Assembly is located at 7101 Bayshore Road. Join us again next week for Sunday Morning. Faith Assembly Sunday Morning is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida.